Remember the volcanoes that erupted in Hawaii 2 summers ago? And, you know, this is something foreign to us living in the middle of the United States. We don't deal with volcanoes, but it was unbelievable to turn on the news and to see lava slowly creeping and burning up everything in its path. And there were people being warned that lava was coming in the direction of their home. Officials were going around pleading people to evacuate, and some people would and some people wouldn't. And I mean, once it touched a home, I mean, it just melted it down. It's just something out of this world to see. And these people got to experience that firsthand. I ran across this picture, a guy playing some golf. Now, I'm not a golfer. I really don't get this. Maybe some of you golfers do. He's admiring his shot, I guess, and his buddy is admiring the shot. But look at everybody else in the background. They see what's going on behind him. A pretty bizarre situation, a pretty bizarre incident there in Hawaii as this guy is playing some golf. And it got me to thinking this week that this is a symbol of our culture today, that we place momentary pleasure as of most importance, not realizing that there is impending danger. And this series that we began a few weeks ago, titled I Love My Church, today I think is the most significant message I'm going to preach, because of the fact that we place momentary pleasure over the fact of what will tomorrow hold. If I read the Bible correct, and I believe the Bible to be true, each and every person that lives will be assigned after this life either to heaven or to hell. It's a rather blunt way to say it, but it's what the Bible teaches. And it's a reality that we have to face up to, that after this life, we'll be assigned either to heaven or to hell. The Bible mentions hell 54 times, and the individual who spoke the most of hell is Jesus. Why would he speak so much of it? Well, because he went to great lengths so that no person should ever have to experience hell. And he wants, as us as followers of him, to share boldly the faith that we have. This is the most important message that we can share with the world, is who Jesus Christ is. And God, he wants to use us as followers of Christ to share our faith boldly to the world. The world, however, has grown very comfortable, and we've lost our urgency in sharing our faith in a bold way. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, before Jesus ascends to heaven, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And there are other areas of Scripture in the Gospels where Jesus commands his disciples, his followers, to go and to share their faith. Otherwise, the world won't know who Christ is. Numerous times, Jesus calls his followers to go and share their faith in a bold way. And that wasn't just reserved for those early disciples, but that's for us today as well, to share our faith with others. And we have a lot of excuses why we don't do this. We might say, well, I'm nervous. I don't know what to say. Or what if it wrecks a relationship? Or what if someone looks at me a little bit differently? You'd never say, I just don't care to do it, to share my faith. But when we're apathetic in doing this, we don't feel moved to share our faith, in a way you're sending the message that you don't. And so we have to be real clear here that as a follower of Jesus, God has an expectation that you would share your faith. The longer that you interact with the Christian community, the easier it becomes to avoid any significant time with unbelievers. And I think that's very, very true, unless you become intentional about this. The longer we're a follower of Christ, we seem to encircle ourselves with only people who are like ourselves, and so stands to reason that they would be followers of Jesus as well. But we have to be intentional to step outside of that circle and share our faith with those who don't know Christ. Jesus didn't leave this open for debate or as an option in the Christian life, but it's an expectation that we would do this in Jesus' name. The whole key to the series that we've went through is intentionality, that we have to be intentional as a follower of Christ so that we can grow on all these areas. And a harvest will never happen if seeds are never planted. And so we are given the responsibility to go and to share boldly. If we just remain in our comfy Christian environment, then what are we really accomplishing? What are we really accomplishing? We can do lots of things here at church, and we can build one another up, and we can grow in knowledge of the Bible. But God calls us to go and to share our faith. It'd be great if you could cure cancer. If you were able to cure cancer, you would be able to prolong someone's life here on this earth, right? But if you share boldly who Jesus is, you can prolong someone's life for all of eternity. And so this is so important for us to take seriously. The Apostle Paul, the great communicator of the gospel, in Colossians chapter 4, gives us a clue as to how it is we can share our faith. And starting in verse 2, he says this, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart." So sharing boldly first starts with speaking to God about people. And I think it gets lost to be praying for others when it comes to the area of evangelism and sharing our faith. Oftentimes we think, well, if I got to share my faith, I just go and I talk. We first start this in prayer. We use that powerful tool. And the Apostle Paul says, devote yourself. This word means constantly diligent. That it isn't just a singular prayer that you throw up to God and hope He listens and hears and responds. But you're constantly diligent in your prayers. And so you pray for someone that God could soften their heart and you plant that seed that it would be receptive. He says to have an alert mind. That this is the idea of watching intently on what God's going to do. And oftentimes we put lots of pressure on ourselves when we want to share our faith. And God is saying, first come to me in prayer with this, and I can take that pressure. It's not about you. But God can work through you, and God will do the hard work. You just share. But it first starts in praying for others. Then in verse 3, Paul says, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about His mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. As Paul writes this letter to the church in Colossae, he sits in a Roman jail. Usually the thing that you do that gets you put in jail, you don't go and do again, right? Say you steal a car this afternoon. No one do that. Hypothetically, you steal a car this afternoon. They're going to put you in jail. And when you get out, the thing you probably should never do again is what? Steal a car, because they're going to put you back in jail. The Apostle Paul is put in jail for sharing the gospel boldly. And now he's asking for the church in Colossae, continue to pray for me. Because he knew that God wasn't done with him yet. He wanted back out so that he could do the thing that got him put in jail. And so first we pray for others, but we also pray for ourselves. We pray for ourselves that God can work through us, that God wants to continually use us. Paul valued prayers of others for him because he wanted to be God's tool to share the gospel. Have you ever heard someone say, I've just been praying for you for so long? Or you've heard someone say, I've been praying for so-and-so for so long, and they finally turned the corner and they made a decision to follow Christ. I've just been praying for this forever. Grandparents, maybe you've prayed that for your grandchild, or parents for your kids. Maybe a friend or a coworker. I remember the first church I worked at, there was a man in the community named, we'll just call him Joe, who he had veered the wrong direction for a majority of his life. He was a nice guy. People knew him in the community. It was a small town. He would visit church every so often. He was pretty rough around the edges. And I remember sitting in an elder and deacon meeting one night, and we heard a little bit of some noise out in the hallway, and one of the guys got up and walked out, and Joe had came in the church, and he came into the room that we were having our meeting, and he just fell to the ground on his knees saying, I need Jesus in my life. And the following Sunday, he gave his life to Christ and was baptized. And it was so cool out in the lobby after church hearing so many people just talking amongst one another. I've been praying for Joe for so long. I knew he had it in him. I knew he knew that he needed to make a change. And I'd just been praying for so long. And prayer can be such a powerful weapon for the Christian when it comes to sharing boldly, to pray for others. Then in verse 4, Paul says, pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Have you ever had a conversation with someone, maybe not about your faith, but you've just had a conversation, and before you knew it, you forgot what you were talking about? Name slipped, situations changed, you couldn't remember, dates, and you wanted to tell it clearly, right? And the Apostle Paul is saying, also pray that God would speak through you so that your message would be clear. Paul knew how important the message of Christ was, and he didn't want to mess it up. Paul wanted to be in step with the Spirit and God speaking through him. Paul knew if he just went out and depended upon his own flesh, he would fail. Because as human beings, we are imperfect, but God is perfect. And pray that God would help you to speak clearly and accurately so that the person listening wouldn't necessarily hear you, but they would hear God. So who can you be praying for this week? Do you have a family member, maybe a friend or a person at work? Who could you start praying for that God would soften their heart and pray that God would also within you give you the confidence that you need and help you to speak clearly? John Stott, a Christian author, he wrote, it's in a prayerless church that the enemy can do his best work of disruption. And when it comes to sharing our faith boldly, Satan wants nothing more than to disrupt that. He wants to keep a church from loving Christ and sharing that love with others. And it all begins in prayer. As you pray for others and you pray for yourself, evangelism can be kickstarted. Also, in sharing boldly, we then need to speak to people about God. First, we speak to God about people. Then we feel the confidence to go and share, and we speak to people about God. In verse 5, Paul says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that we are the light of the world. That you don't cover that light, but that light should shine bright for all to see. And we do a really good job of letting our light shine here on a Sunday morning. But how is our light shining when we go to work, when we're with our family, when we're with our friends? Does our light continue to shine? Because we are to have an influence on the world. And as Paul says here in verse 5, make the most of every opportunity. There's a couple ways I want to share on how we can talk to people about God. The first is to briefly share your story. Could you, in 30 seconds, briefly just share why it is you're a Christian? Or what it's meant to you to have a relationship with Christ? A minute. Could you share in a minute's time why it is that you love the Lord? 3 minutes. In 3 minutes, could you describe to someone why you became a Christian and how it's changed your life? Because people want to know, but they don't. Just an example. Before we moved up here, we lived in Altamont. One day I was mowing my yard, and I saw a man in our neighborhood walking from house to house with papers in his hands. And some people didn't answer their door. I'm sure they were peeking through the blinds. Other people opened the door. He probably had 30 seconds, and they shut the door in his face. I finished mowing my yard. I rolled my mower back in the garage. He was coming right up to the edge of my driveway, and he was just looking right at me. I could have hurried up and ran in the garage and hit the button and just went in the house. I was hot. I was tired from mowing the yard and thirsty. But I thought, you know, I'll give this guy some respect, and I'll go out and see what he's up to. And so I met him halfway down my driveway, and he had tracts in his hands. And he introduced himself, and he was a member of the Baptist church in town, and he said he was just going out and talking to people about their faith. And if they believed in Christ, if they went to a church. And for a half an hour, I didn't get to say one word. And he talked, and he talked, and he talked. I was ready to go in the house. But I stood there, and I listened, and I listened. And he finally ended his spiel and said, so if you want a church home, we're more than welcome to have you. And if you want a relationship with Jesus, that'd be great. And I said, well, I actually work at the church just down the road, and I've been a follower of Christ for a little while. Oh, okay. And he just went on his way. I went back in the house. I was like, I was more worn out from standing there listening for half an hour than I did mowing my whole yard for an hour. A conversation with someone about Christ It's not designed to be a monologue, but it's to be a dialogue where you share briefly why it is that you're a follower of Christ, how it's impacted your life, and hopefully they will start to ask you questions. That they would become involved with your conversation instead of you just telling them everything that you know. And as that starts to develop, they'll start to ask those questions, and perhaps that'll open up their hearts to listen. So, have you thought about that? Have you thought about for yourself, if you were ever approached with the opportunity to share your faith, just in a matter of half a minute or 3 minutes, could you share why it is you follow Christ and how it's changed your life? Jesus said we're to be the salt of the earth. What's one thing that salt does? Makes you thirsty, right? Eat some salty pretzels, you got to have something to drink. It saps the moisture right out of your mouth. God's works through us, and we're to make people thirsty for Jesus Christ. And then he can quench their thirst more than anything else ever could. A second way that we can share is to use Scripture to communicate what we believe. Don't make it a thing of, well, this is what I think, or this is my opinion. But give them God's Word, and it can change things big time. They will know that it's not, well, not just what you've concocted, but it's what God says. Because God's Word has some pretty great lines in it, far greater than anything that we can come up on our own. And so we use God's Word when we share our faith as well. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." Paul knew the power of God's Word. It transforms lives. And it's a tool that we can use when we share our faith with others. Then Paul wraps this up and he reminds us how it is that we can share our faith. Many people are mistaken when it comes to sharing their faith. It's not to be obnoxious or overbearing with people, but rather Paul says in Colossians 4:6, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." You yourself have received the grace of Jesus, right? If you're a follower of Christ. Share that same grace when you have that conversation. Unfortunately, many Christians get mistaken, and when they share their faith, it can come across rather aggressive or condemning of someone's life. And Paul says, rather, the conversation be full of grace, and that it should be seasoned with salt, that it would be intriguing, that it would be appetizing, that they would seek after Christ. Mark Cahill wrote a book titled One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. If you ever want to read it, I got it in my office. It's a good book. The main premise of this book, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, he talks about one thing. When we get to heaven, there will be no person to share your faith with. When you get to heaven, there will be no more sharing your faith boldly. Why? Because everyone who is in heaven will be a believer just like you are. And so we have the opportunity now on this earth and to realize that there should be a sense of urgency when it comes to sharing our faith, because we only get this one opportunity on this earth. And I know this week we all go different directions. And you may go to a job where it would be highly disliked by everyone that you work with if you were to bring up your faith. You may have a family that if you start to bring up maybe what happened at church today, they don't want to hear it. I've heard it before, I'm tired of it, I don't want to hear it anymore. There's some hostile environments out there. Maybe you'll go to a place of work where most people that you work with are believers. You'll go home to a Christian family. Regardless of where you go this week, could you say something good about Jesus? Could your example and how you carry yourself and maybe some of the words that you say share grace with people? Perhaps a conversation could start. Charles Spurgeon, the English preacher in the 1800s, he wrote this, "If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled with the teeth of our exhortations, and let not one go unwarned and unprayed for." Every week you pick up a bulletin. What's on the cover of your bulletin every week? There's a little logo that says Paint a Christian Church, and what's below it? It says Growing the Family of God. And I hope that's a commitment that you take seriously. Yeah, we come here to grow spiritually, to grow in knowledge of God's Word, but we also are here so that we can grow numerically. And it's not so that we can go and brag about how many people were at church this past Sunday, but that it represents a soul. It represents someone created in the image of God that needs to have a Savior, and we are God's tool to make Jesus known. And so we need to take seriously growing the family of God, sharing our faith boldly. It starts with praying. It starts with praying for others, and it transforms to us sharing our faith verbally. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Once again, a reminder that we should be willing and ready to be able to share our faith with anyone who might ask. And so I hope that you would take this seriously this week, that you would really start to think this through. If someone were to ask me, why do you go to church? Why do you believe in Jesus? That it wouldn't have to be a, let me think about that for a minute. But it would already be in your mind, and you'd be able to share with somebody why it is you believe in Christ, why you love the church. And this world has a way of chipping away at us. God gives us, however, expectations to help us so that we can stand strong in this life. We've went through those over the last few weeks. To love radically. Man, that can change everything around us. To grow intentionally. To be intentional in growing our faith. To serve faithfully. That we can be used by God in His service. To give generously. Out of response for what God has done, we be generous back to the Lord. And last week we talked about worshiping joyfully because God is deserving of it. Today we talk about sharing our faith in a bold way. If we practice this, then we'll be able to stand strong in this life. I want to show you this picture one more time. Pretty interesting picture, really, when you look at it. And that's a real clear picture, however, of the standard that our world has. That we focus so much on this world and what's at hand in the current time. We don't give thought for the impending danger that could be right around the corner. Make this a little more personal. What if that golfer was your spouse? What if that golfer was a close friend or a family member? What if that golfer was someone that you work with? And you need to share with them the impending danger that could be right around the corner while they're just focused on the then and now. But you know what eternity holds. The Bible teaches that we'll be assigned either to heaven or to hell. And then we take that seriously. And we share our faith. We share our faith so that others can know what you know. What if no one had told you about Christ? What if no one had told me about Christ? Will we just figure this out on our own? Highly doubt it. But we needed that person. We needed perhaps those people in your life. There are people that you are surrounded with that need you. They need you to speak up and share in love. What a personal relationship with Jesus means. And how it's changed your life and it can change theirs as well. We're going to sing this song here in a second. Giving God some more worship that he deserves. And this morning, if you want to make that decision, if you want to make a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we welcome you and we'll rejoice with you to make that decision this morning. And if you maybe just not so confident about it, but you want to have that conversation to kind of see what that means, let me know anytime we can talk and have that conversation about what it means to have a relationship with Christ. And for everyone in this room who's already made that decision, as we sing this song, perhaps there needs to be a renewal within your spirit that lately you've not been sharing your faith. You've kind of kept it reserved, maybe because you've been pretty comfortable. Things are going okay. God calls us to step out of that comfort zone so that our faith can be shared in a bold way. So let's stand together and let's worship.